The KFC Breakfast Show Podcast. Radio City 96.7.
Big day today. Cherie Blair. Put your name wrong. Cherie Blair is here. Good morning, Cherie.
Hello, Kev.
Hello. What do you get called for sure, by the way?
No, I'm just called Cherie.
Just Cherie, not Shetter or...
No.
Just Cherie, okay.
Cherie is bad enough, if you will.
No, I think Cherie's fine.
I tell the story in the book that if I'd been a boy, I was going to be called Tarquin.
Really?
And can you imagine? It was bad enough being called Cherie in Liverpool in the 50s and 60s, but imagine if you'd been a boy called Tarquin going to St. Edmund's Primary School. Not a good scene.
I used to have a character on my show called Tarquin. He was a gay character.
Ah.
Very camp.
Thank God I was a boy. A girl, I mean.
Revelation! Now, what was bizarre, I did actually interview your husband many moons ago, a couple of days before he became Prime Minister. And
that was clever of you.
Yeah, I know. And one of the first questions I asked him was about his favourite Spice Girl. And he told me, but just to check that whether it was lying or not, who is or who was his favourite Spice Girl?
I haven't got a clue, but my favourite Spice Girl is Jerry, because she and I used to do, and still do, work for breast cancer care together.
Fantastic. Well, what about Take That then? Who would be your favourite member of Take That? You must have a favourite member of Take That.
Oh, that would be invidious to choose between the nice young men.
Oh, pick one.
Okay, give me a suggestion.
Well,
what do you think might be my choice?
I think you're more of a Gary Barlow type.
I see.
Yeah. Would I be right?
No.
Now, there's a rumour flying around that you got this book out.
Yeah, I know. I don't know where that's coming from.
Are we okay to talk about it, or do you want to talk about something else?
I'm perfectly happy to speak for myself.
What would you say? What bit of the book would you say, if you could pick one bit of the book that you're really proud of?
Well, I really like the beginning bits of the book, which tell about my time in Liverpool. I really enjoyed writing that down, partly because in the back of my mind I was doing it for my own kids and remembering how, as a young girl myself, being brought up by my grandma, who's one of these great Liverpool matriarchs, how she used to tell me stories about her childhood and how I used to love listening to them. And that's what I wanted to convey in the stories that I write about my childhood.
The very first bit of the book here that says, OK, guys, that's it, let's do the business. And then you talk about the goodbyes and as you're all ready to take a deep breath and walk out the door and all that. And it just paints a great picture. And then that bit where the press ask a question and then Tony wasn't very happy with you, was he?
No, he wasn't. And he was absolutely right not to be happy with me, because it was very important that was his day. And so there was no reason for me to get my tuppence halfpenny worth as well, was there?
Did you plan, or did you know that you were going to get your little tuppence halfpenny in?
No, absolutely not. That was very much a spur of the moment. That was very much a Scouser moment, I think.
Because what happened is the press said something. Are you going to miss it or something?
We'll miss you. Or some of them says we'll miss you, and so I said back, we won't miss you.
So what did he say? He got in the car and then he said he couldn't resist it, could you? Something like that.
He tells me like it is.
Yeah.
But that's part of the relationship.
in that little bit of the start, it says about how, you know, you had to get behind the front passenger seat and all this, and all that protocol. How did you cope in the early days with all that protocol, the right ways of doing things and the wrong ways of doing things?
Well, I think it certainly wasn't something that being brought up at 15 Ferndale Road, Waterloo, had prepared me for. But one of the interesting things, I think, about being in number 10 was that no one really thought to tell you what the rules were. You had to sort of find them out by trial and error.
Did you make many mistakes?
Oh, I think so. I think you know about a few, don't you?
You're probably right.
There may be even more that you don't know about.
Want to talk about it?
Only insofar as I've told them in the book. If I haven't told them in the book, it's because I don't want to talk about them.
what was it like, you know, being the wife of a prime minister? It's not something that you could read up on, really, or plan for. What was it like being the wife of a PM?
Well, one of the things I did want to do in the book was to convey that extraordinary thing that it is when you are, as I say in the book, you have a ringside seat on history, but of course you're not the person who's making history. The people who are making history are the people who are elected, you know, your husband and his colleagues, but you have this extraordinary opportunity to observe what's going on. The other thing I wanted to describe in the book was really how, you know, how is it that you could, how do you maintain a normal life? How do you still remain an ordinary person when you are thrust into the public eye? When you're not there on your own merits, but you're there because of who you're married to.
How do the children cope with living in number 10?
Well, for them, I think, well, I'd like to think and I hope that we did everything we could to make sure they lived as normal a life as possible. And certainly, they, you know, their friends coming into number 10, making sure that we always did the parents' evenings and go to the school events and as much as possible do everything we can to keep their life as normal as possible. I mean, obviously, it couldn't be totally normal. And that had many benefits. I describe how Ewan, for example, was off ill one day and Nelson Mandela came along. And, you know, Ewan was able to meet Nelson Mandela.
Which was unusual for a Tuesday.
Yes. And again, you know, I got to meet the Pope and my children also got to meet the Pope. But obviously it also had its disadvantages. Not least, for example, when Ewan celebrating his GCSEs was a little worse for wear in Trafalgar Square, which was shared with the entire world rather than just with his irate parents.
Yeah. Have you watched the film Love Actually?
Love Actually, yes, I have.
So how do you think they portray the Prime Minister there with Hugh Grant?
Do you know, what really irritates me about Love Actually is the way they portray number 10, because, of course, it wasn't taken inside number 10. If you look there, you'd think you had this incredibly spacious surroundings, whereas, in fact, of course, number 10 is a TARDIS-like building, which is an 18th-century house suddenly thrust into a 21st-century office. And so the spacious accommodation that the Prime Minister had isn't actually really what it's really like. So I was too busy, and I can assure you that we, much as I love the messengers, and I did love the messengers because they were very much a part of our extended family, none of them was as glamorous as what's her name? Who's in that film?
Yeah, I was trying to from EastEnders.
Martin McCutcheon.
Martin McCutcheon. No, none of them looked like that.
Because I nearly made a mistake and then called you Marty when I first walked in because I'm a big fan of the film. Did Tony see the film? What did he make of the film?
Actually, that film he has seen. He hasn't seen The Queen, but he has seen that film. And it's a fun film. You know, it's a family film. Liverpool's hit music station.
City 96.7. We're talking with Cherie Blair this morning. Tell me what you think of the royal family.
One of the many reasons for writing the book was to try and counteract some of the ridiculous things that are written about me. And one of them is this idea that, you know, I don't get on with the royal family. And I think if you've read the book, you will know that I say in the book, particularly how kind the Queen was to Tony and I, and how much I admire what she did, not just generally, but specifically for the Olympics, and how much she was involved in that, and how kind she was to me personally.
What are your thoughts on Camilla?
Well, I know and admire Camilla, who, in fact, I was, during my time in number 10, I was 6 years the president of Barnardo's, and after 6 years, I stood down because that was the maximum term you could do, and the new president of Barnardo's is Camilla, and she's doing a fantastic, fantastic job there. But you know, that's the thing about the royal family. It's like Prince Philip and his barbecues. And I describe in the book when the Prime Minister goes to Balmoral and how the tradition is that on the Saturday night you go for a barbecue. Now, it's not quite the same barbecue as you might have in your back garden. It's grouse stuff with haggis, which I tell you is fantastic. But Prince Philip actually cooks the barbecue. And then at the end of the dinner, the Queen and other members of the royal family actually insist on clearing up.
Really?
So it's a really strange sensation because you're sitting there feeling that you really must help. And you're absolutely told by the Queen, no, I am going to clear the table.
Really?
Which is an amazing thing to experience. And Prince Philip himself, you know, I don't know if people realise how interested he is in the internet and technology. And I'm interested in that as well. So we used to chat about that a lot.
How do you think Liverpool has changed since you lived here?
Well, physically, of course, it's changed a lot. But I still think that the essential character of Liverpool is always the same. It's outgoing, it's outspoken, it's It's why my husband calls me a bolshy scouser.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, you bolshy scouser.
But isn't that great?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. What's the biggest improvement you can see in Liverpool?
Oh, well, it must be physically. I mean, you looked at... I mean, my grandfather, of course, was a merchant seaman and was on the Elder Dempster lines and sailed out of Liverpool on the docks. And if you think about what the docks and all this, the pierhead and all this area... that we can see through your window here, how that used to look like and what it looks like now with these... Last night I was in the new convention center there. Fantastic, fantastic building. Not just for the facilities it brings to the city, but also for how it looks from outside. I mean, that is a huge transformation and something that the City of Culture has made a huge difference.
What about your favorite football team from Liverpool?
Mm. Now, this is, of course,
a
difficult issue. But I have to tell you that, hand on heart, I am not one of the world's fanatics about football. When Tony loves football, he loves his Newcastle United, and he will watch football a lot on television for recreation. I'm afraid I sit there and read my book. It means I know a lot about what's going on, because you have to hear what's going on. But I don't necessarily watch it. But my dad is, and always was, a fanatical Liverpool supporter, and Ewan, my eldest son, has inherited that. So if I'm anything, I'm a Liverpool supporter. Having said that, however, of course, being a good Catholic girl, I've got a lot of friends who are Everton supporters, and I'm very friendly with Bill Kenwright, who, of course, is probably the most fanatical Everton supporter you could ever meet.
So you don't mind who wins as long as it's Everton or Liverpool? Do you have a favourite footballer? Even though you're not a massive fan of football?
I mean, like every woman, I think that David Beckham is the most beautiful man you could possibly see. And I've been lucky enough to meet him. And he's also got a very sweet character. But he is, fantastic. And in fact, one of the pictures I've got in the book is David Beckham when we were at Singapore for the London 2012 bid. And he's in this extraordinary sort of silver tracksuit, you know. And frankly, only someone as beautiful as David Beckham could wear that and still look fantastic.
That's why I didn't put it on this morning, Thomas.
That's the explanation for that very simple dress that you're wearing.
What about the shoes?
Form of dress, anyway.
You mentioned the popes. Out of the two popes, the current pope and Pope John Paul, if you could pick one or the other, which one do you prefer? Because I know which one I like.
But they are very different characters.
I know.
Actually, and that, God chose both of them, and it's not for me to choose between them, but I would say that when we went to visit Pope John Paul on the second day, he said Mass for us in his private chapel, and there was something terribly moving about going into that chapel that morning and seeing him there, sitting there, because, of course, by this time, he was very much affected by his Parkinson's. And this really frail man sitting in the chair in prayer, and yet then when he stood up and said the Mass for us, the first half of which he did in English and the second half in Latin, suddenly to be transformed, his charisma when he did that was quite extraordinary. And we were there with two representatives from the Irish College, two representatives from the English College, and two representatives from the Scottish College, and it was a very special experience.
When you're in company like that, and the Queen, do you ever feel like pinching yourself?
I do.
Oh my God! I mean, the Queen, the Pope, and Kev Seat. You must pinch yourself sometimes and think, oh my God.
Well, of course, especially being with you, Kev, I'm pinching myself as we speak. In fact, my leg is black and blue.
I'm sure it is. I know you haven't got that much time. What does Tony think about the book?
Well, I think he enjoys it. Actually, he's always asking me how it's going, and he did enjoy reading it. And of course, he's got his own book to write now, so I'm hoping that I can give him a few tips.
Is there anything you think in the book that you think he wished you'd left out?
Well, I think, because he's a man, you know, and they don't get on so well with all the touchy-feely, lovey-dovey bits, so I think part of him, because he's quite a romantic, likes it. Another part of him thinks, oh, God, Sheree, how embarrassing.
Is there anything that you didn't put in the book that maybe you might put in another book?
Time will tell, Kev. Time will tell.
All right, okay. Well, look, it's been an absolute pleasure having you in today, and I wish you all the success with the book. Pass on my best to Tony and the family, and thanks very much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.